host, Virginia Anzengruber, and I'm very excited to be welcoming you to episode 12 of Super Hungry the Podcast. I am surprised that I have put out 12 of these. Good for me. That's a whole dozen. I am grateful, so grateful to all of the listeners. I'm super grateful to people who have reached out to just help me. Thank you to everybody who's let me interview them and sort of come and sit in this closet. You're all incredible. A special thanks to Sydney Landis for designing the logo, to Chris Henry for just being an amazing sounding board and advice man. If you need a sound guy, he's your man. And yeah, I'm just really grateful. Looking back at the fact that I've done 12 of these, it feels good. I'm excited that each new one feels like something that I want to make better. A lot of changes happening. A lot of things in flux right now. I'm getting married in a little over 2 months. Ugh, I'm getting married in a little over 2 months. I'm very excited. It's just starting to be at that point where it's consuming a lot of my time now. And I never really thought about my wedding. I don't know if there are a lot of women that are listening that feel this way. If there are, man, I feel you. I just never dreamt about my wedding. I dreamt about my Oscar speech and the first movie I was going to make, or how I was going to go to space at one point before I realized that I have zero tolerance for any sort of, jostling in any way. I throw up after, Tower of Terror at this point now. So space, that dream had to die a long time ago, but I never really dreamed about my wedding. And now that I'm in planning mode, I realized that maybe I should have dreamed about it a little bit, because I feel terrible that I'm very excited, but I'm not the kind of person that needs to see 20 different versions of something. I'm pretty decisive when I need to be, and I kind of know the aesthetic that I want. So I'm give me the bullet. And if you have it, I'll give you any notes I have, but honestly, it's probably going to be great. Whatever you're going to do is probably going to be amazing, because you're all talented and lovely and are helping me with this wedding. So in my mind, it's all good. I think I'm missing the bride gene, but I got a dope AF dress that I paid $350 for. Shout out to Dear Golden Vintage in Ann Arbor, Michigan. That's where I bought my wedding dress from. It's from the 1930s. It's pink, because who are we kidding? And I'm very excited. We're getting married at a park in my hometown, so I feel very full circle. And when I think about walking down the aisle to Stephen, I get it. I get why people do it. I get why people get married. We've been together for 5 years this month, actually, which is incredible. I'm very lucky. And I realized I hadn't ever really talked about him, I don't think, that much on the podcast. And so without getting too mushy or too into my personal life, I'm very thankful and grateful and have found a partner that I love and who I've grown with, which I think is the dream. You know, it's a hard thing to grow at all as a person and then to grow together or, you know, alongside each other instead of apart. That in and of itself is a very big accomplishment, and so I'm extremely proud of the relationship that I have and the partnership that I have. And my wedding is gonna be so fucking fun, you guys. I can't wait. I'm not gonna wear high heels. It's gonna be incredible. So I'm really excited. I got to interview my friend Brad Wenzel. I've heard lots of different pronunciations of it, and by lots, I mean those two. And he's a comedian that, interestingly enough, was there my very first night that I ever did stand-up comedy. And so he was out here in LA. We had been meaning to link up over Skype as an interview anyway, because he's from Michigan. But then all of a sudden, he came out and was opening up for Patton Oswalt at LA Riot Fest and booking himself on Conan. And so I got to talk to him after he did comedy for the country on national television for Conan O'Brien. He performed on the same show as Carol Burnett. So doing okay in life, but he's a great guy, so nice. Literally everyone that I know that meets him is just so funny and such a nice guy. So one of those people that you're just genuinely happy when good things happen to him. So we got to sit down. He came to the closet in Sherman Oaks, and we talked about, you know, what it was like to be be on Conan, what that process was like, and what it's like growing up in the Midwest, the sort of comedy scene out there, how he sort of started doing comedy by lying about his age, and how it all spitballed. And so I was very excited and thrilled and honored that he was able to make some time. So super stoked to be welcoming back a returning sponsor, the awesome hub of all things geek, Geek World Order. You guys really need to be checking out this expertly nerdy website. It is curated with tons of reviews on music, movies, video games, comics, and all of the geeky news that you need to stay in the loop. You can find them on Instagram, Facebook, and always at geekworldordersite.com. Geek World Order, where geeks unite. As always, Super Hunger, the podcast, is sponsored by Hair by Kaylee LA. Kaylee Vandenberg does expert cuts, color, and wedding styling that includes consultations, trials, and day of execution. Her YouTube channel has over 1.5 million views, and she's been featured on Redbook, Glamour.com, and Lucky Magazine. So check her out at KayleeVandenberg.com and book her to style you today. Super Hunger, the podcast, is stoked to be welcoming back returning sponsor Von Strauss, who's still touring, in case you were wondering. This week, they are going to be in Indiana. Friday, the 5th of January, they'll be in Castleton, Indiana. Saturday, the 6th, they'll be in Noblesville, Indiana. Sunday, the 7th, in Fort Wayne, Indiana. And they've also got a brand new entry into NPR's Tiny Desk Contest. So if you have a chance, check it out on YouTube. It's Dying Flower. And for all their music, all the tour dates, and everything else you need to know, check out VonStrauss.com. I hope you guys enjoy this conversation. And if anybody has any wedding planning tips, send them my way. And don't forget, please, 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 if you haven't yet, subscribe, rate, comment, like, follow, tweet, everything. Everything is hashtag SuperHungryPodcast. At V. Anzengruber, Super Hungry Podcast on Facebook. Help! Social media is great. It boosts everything, and then I can keep doing this, and maybe someone will pay me one day. Enjoy this conversation with Brad Wenzel.
We're live.
But we are live.
3, 2, 1.
I always imagine that the one is always silent because it's like the guy at the radio station that's like pointing towards you.
Yeah. Wayne's golfing. World bit.
Yeah. But yeah, thanks for coming in, man. How's your LA time been?
It's been great. It's nice, and it's cold today, but the weather is so nice that coming out here in January from Michigan is refreshing.
You were
you know?
There are other weather climates other than just cold and blizzard, basically.
I came in on Sunday and it was like perfect. Oh my God.
So you've been out here for like a week now. You came out which, as I would have already told people in my intro about you, but you just did Conan.
Like, yeah.
The Conan O'Brien. That giant hair of a man.
Yeah.
Dude, congratulations.
Thank you.
Who knows you and as someone who has like a personal story related to your comedy, which I don't know if you know this, you were there the very first night I ever did comedy.
Okay.
Ever.
I remember the show. I didn't know it was your first time though.
Ever doing comedy. And I kind of wrote about it when I was like promoting that you were going to be here. And it literally was like, I got off stage. Sean Daly gave me a shot of fire whiskey and a very approving, nice job. Very calm. And then I came and I sat back down and you like were sitting at the booth next to me or something. Mm. And you just leaned over and you were just very like, you know, that was really funny. Like, great job. And I was like, oh, thanks, man. Like, I didn't know who you were. You know, I just thought you were just like another like GR comic. And then you got up and fucking crushed it. You like closed the show. But that was my very first time ever getting up to do comedy.
Oh, wow. Yeah, well, then you were very good, too.
Oh, my God, that's so nice.
I don't remember thinking, like, oh, that was their first time. I was like, oh, that was funny. And then I was like, that was funny. So, yeah,
that means
you
a
did.
Lot. I appreciate that. You had a solid
first time, for sure.
I feel like, and especially Tip Top, too, it's one of those rooms that's so great. So I feel like maybe I had been primed, but maybe it also was just, like, a lot of years of telling jokes to my stuffed animals. And I was like, I'm finally ready. Like,
yeah,
I can do it.
This is the time.
But yeah, so for me, like, obviously, I had been wanting, you know, we had talked about doing the podcast a while ago, but
yeah.
You coming out here was perfect.
Worked
actually,
out.
Like,
yeah.
Sit you down. But, like, as a friend, as someone who does comedy, as somebody who has this memory, you know, implanted in my brain of doing this really small kind of open mic show in Michigan. That's a great show, by the way. Shout out to everybody at the Tip Top Bar and Grill.
Yeah, it's a good show.
In Grand Rapids. Yeah. It's a great show. But to see that and then to, you know, see you kind of crush it on Conan and just have this great moment, I know that myself and all of the comics listening to this now, everybody that's met you, probably anybody that's, like, seen you do comedy, we're so happy for you.
Oh,
like, it's such,
you.
Like, a genuine, like I feel like maybe sometimes you're happy / jealous for somebody.
Yeah, yeah.
I think people are just happy for you, man, which, like, that's a hard thing to cultivate. So you should really take that as a compliment.
Thank you very much. Yeah, there was the amount of positive feedback was, like, overwhelming, like, the few days before and then, like, when it aired and stuff. It was very nice. I don't even know how to articulate it, but it was just such a positive vibe just from everybody. A couple of people said, they're like, I don't know people that hate you, which I was like, that's good. That's good. I think
that's good.
You know,
I mean, that'll come eventually. So
Worry. I'm like, there's definitely people that hate me, but YouTube commenters are. I checked YouTube.
Have you had any? Yeah, how was that?
Everybody loved it.
Excellent. No. The whole internet's in agreement.
I haven't read them. I read like 4, mm-hmm. and I was like, I'm out. But it was that was a funny thing where I'm like, oh no, there's definitely some dislike there. My cousin was like telling me, I'm like, I don't want to know.
Why were they like updating you on like, by the way, this guy thinks you suck.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it's like, because they're like, that's funny. I'm like, kind of. So yeah, it was so weird. It's like the 3-day arc of it mm-hmm. is like the day I did it. It's like, it was positive, but just like total, like kind of an awe feeling.
Yeah.
Like very like, wow, that just happened. And it's so fast.
Yeah.
And then the second day, you, like, read a couple comments or something, you're like, maybe that was horrible, and you feel bad. And then, like, the third day, you're, like, removed enough from it that you can, like, actually, like, watch your set, like, objectively.
And you're like, oh, good.
That was a good set.
Yeah.
And then you kind of don't care after that. You're like, well, that was a good set.
I thought it was a great set.
Thank
like,
you.
I thought it was so funny. I think that your delivery, and I've made this comment to you before, I don't know if you remember, but I feel like you remind me a lot of Mitch Hedberg
in a lot
of that delivery. And there's something about being brave enough to be silent for a minute and to give the pause and to be dry, because a lot of what you do, I think, and a lot of where your strength and your jokes is from the fact that you're just very confident in the dryness and in that, you know what I mean? And
yeah.
I love that, because you don't kind of give the audience you, like, almost dare them to, like, get it slowly. Do you know what I mean? And I felt happened a lot during the set. And I loved, as somebody who was, like, you know, I think somebody had, like, terribly recorded it on their iPhone and posted it online, quickly. So I was able to watch it.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, I loved hearing, and obviously when they repost it and you get the better quality,
mm.
you hear the audience kind of go on this, like, journey with you in a way, because their response time at first, you know, they're kind of like sussing you out a minute.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then I swear to God, by the time that you hit that Pee Wee Herman joke, you did this thing where you know, you paused after you deliver the line and you like look up at the audience as if you're like daring them to get it quick enough, because you know that they will and you know that they'll get it, and they do. But
uh-huh.
for me, it was so funny because like I think I'd only ever seen you one of the jokes that you did, like
uh-huh.
I don't think I'd seen any of that new material
oh,
yet.
Cool.
So for me, it was great because I was listening to the audience too and just imagining kind of how they were receiving it in studio. So like, I don't know, I love your comedy personally. I think it's
thank
just,
you very much.
It's so funny, like that fucking Pee Wee Herman joke is just...
That was the one that... And there was like a bonus laugh after that, because I kind of took a beat just because it got such a reaction over something so... Like, it's such a ridiculous thing.
But it's so good.
But like, that like you... Like, it warranted like a second to be like, that got a pretty funny laugh. And then I didn't see this because I was doing stand-up, but I had some friends in the audience and they were saying... Everybody was saying that Conan laughed really hard at that, like, so I think that also may have been why there was like additional laughter,
because
was
they
his
were laughing
reaction.
At him laughing, yeah.
So but yeah, that was cool, and that was what he came up and he said, and you could hear
him.
It's like, I love that joke. That's like, I That's why it was cool that the Conan set was very much a short version of what my act is like my whole act, because I typically start off kind of slow. Like, my first joke got, like, a meh reaction. Like, it got an okay reaction. Yeah. Like, it didn't bomb, but it didn't, like, tear the roof. Yeah. I didn't come out swinging. And then it kind of builds.
See,
and then
are you talking about the joke where you were like,
the little people thing?
Yeah. Oh, that one. I liked the one. I liked how you just let off, like, they told me in the back that they were recording this.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I just thought that was great.
I knew I had this. I wanted to say, I just had to acknowledge that what was happening, or it wasn't going to feel normal at all the whole time. And so there's always, and you can be loose with it, but you have a certain amount of freedom with what you can do. It was like, how do I just want to acknowledge that there's like five cameras between me and or pointing at me, you know? And so I did that, but that's kind of how it always, I kind of open meh to okay, and then like, and then it kind of builds, and then it gets weirder, and then people seem okay with it by the end.
Yeah.
And so that's what, because that was, I got notes for a different show once, and it was so much like, it was so different than what I do that I was like, well, this doesn't even make sense, because this is supposed to be like a highlighted version of what I do. Like, this should be like a mini advertisement kind of what like your act is like.
Yeah.
And so that's, I was really happy when it was all said and done. I was like, that is kind of a micro version of what the act is kind of like, you know?
I thought it was great.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks.
But I was glad that I hadn't seen a lot of the new stuff on Conan either, because I feel like that was...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But what was prepping for that set like, I guess?
It was, like, we sent, like, a 10-minute tape initially, and then they tell you, like, what jokes they like, and then you keep sending tapes with those jokes. And which is, making tapes is just like a headache, because it takes the fun out of comedy.
Yeah.
Because you're doing these set of jokes, and that's what you're trying
just
to capture.
Just directly to a camera, basically.
And it just doesn't feel as organic as it normally would be. Or I like to call a lot of audibles, too. Like, if I can't think of what I wanted to do next or something, or just something happens, or I just feel the room, I'm like, all right, I'm going to throw this in there or something. And so there was a bunch of those, just making tapes and stuff. And then actually the Pee Wee Herman joke wasn't on the original tape. And I kept doing it. I kept opening with it to make these tapes, because it would get the crowd like right away. And then I would do what a different joke I was opening with at the time for the tape. And then it just got to a point where I was like, this is insane. Like, why don't, this joke's so much stronger or something like that.
Yeah.
And so I just included it with one of the tapes we sent. And he was like, oh, I love that joke. We got to put that joke in there. So then it evolved a little bit over time. But yeah, it was basically just making tapes and then narrowing it down to like the 8 or 9 that they want, you know?
That's awesome. How long of a process was that from when you first submitted?
I got my first notes in like June or July.
Oh, okay.
And then, so like about 5 months in total, I think the whole thing from like their first initial, like, oh, we'd like him to getting, doing the show.
Booking,
I think,
your flight for you.
Yeah,
you know, big deal. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So I will go back now, because I didn't really do anything in order in this interview, but you're from Michigan.
Yes.
You live currently in Ann Arbor, right?
Yep.
Where are you from?
I'm from Monroe, Michigan, which
like...
is in the corner, like south of Detroit, like bam.
So for our listeners, part of your palm that's just under the thumb joint, but more on the flat part of your palm.
Yes, yeah. Just right, like, the corner is the best way I can describe it. Just the corner
of your right
Michigan.
Hand, by the way.
Yeah.
Your right hand. So when did you decide that you wanted to just, like, start doing comedy? Was it, like, younger? Or, because you've been doing it for a while
now.
Yeah,
I started when I was 17, and so I was just a fan of comedy, and I loved Hedberg and Galifianakis and Stephen Wright and all the one-liner. I still do. Those are just kind of my favorite kind of comics.
Yeah.
Dimitri Martin. Now, it's not as enjoyable for me now because I'm analyzing it instead of enjoying it.
Right.
But that is what, growing up, what I loved. And so then I had actually started to write jokes not knowing what to do with them. Mm-hmm. Like, I just liked comedy so much that I started writing a notepad and kind of like, oh, maybe someday I could do comedy or something. Yeah. But, like, I didn't know what to do with it exactly. And then my cousin Charlie, who's, like, 6 years older than me, he also just enjoyed watching stand-up. We would go, like, we went and saw Flight of the Conchords together, and we saw, like, Mike Birbiglia together. And he was like, you're funny. If you ever got, like, 5 minutes together, I would take you, I'll drive you to an open mic. And so then, and I was like, oh, I actually kind of am already writing jokes, but I didn't know what to do with them.
Yeah.
And then a few months went by, and then eventually I was like, I have my 5 minutes. So we went to an open mic in Ypsilanti at the, which I remember, it's funny now because it felt like really far away. Yeah. And it's like 30, 40 minutes or whatever. And I was 16, and I went, Tower and Cafe, it was like, it got remodeled, and they haven't done comedy for years there.
Yeah.
But it looks so different now. Before it was like a very kind of dingy Italian restaurant with like a lot of knickknacks.
Yeah.
It's like that kind of room. And they had an open mic on Sundays at like 10 o'clock or something, I think it was. And he took me to that, and we both went up, and it, like, I wasn't good, but I did really well.
Okay.
Because I was, like, 16 and shaky and had, like, some good jokes. Yeah. So, like, it went well enough that I got, like, the adrenaline of killing, even though I'm sure it wasn't that, you know, but it went really well.
The first time rush is always nice.
Yeah. And I was very much like, oh, I want to do this now. But I was really lucky that there were people there. There was like maybe 20 or 30 people, and they were like really responsive and supportive. And I was all shaky and weird, but like I did well. So then I was like, and I always think back to that, 'cause I'm like, had I just eaten it, I might have been like, well, I can't do that. And then, 'cause that's not in my nature. Like if I'm not good at something, I'll just be like, yeah, I'm not good at that.
And be like, well, that's settled.
Yeah. So, I was really lucky that like I had that really nice experience, and I did that. And I was still in like high school, and, I was really naive. So I would like call comedy clubs, and I'd be like, 'cause I didn't want to get in trouble or get them in trouble. And so I would be like, hey, do you have like an age requirement? And they'd be like, yeah. 'Cause if you ask someone that, that's all they can answer is yeah.
Yeah.
You have to be 18 or 21 or whatever. And I was like, oh, okay, I'm sorry, bye. And then I'd be like, I don't know. And then I would try to go to just open mics outside of comedy clubs.
Right.
Because, and I went back and did the one in Ipsy again. And then I ran into, like, a Brett Klein, who was, like, a few years older than me, but, like, a younger guy. So it's like, how do you, if you're not old enough, how do you do this?
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, take a Bill Bouchard's comedy class. He's a headliner from Detroit. He's still there. He's like, everybody loves Bill. He's like, we call him the godfather of Michigan comedy.
Okay.
Just because he's so nice to all the comics, mm-hmm. and he's been around forever. And and so I took his class at the Comedy Castle in Royal Oak. So for like 6 weeks, the fall of like my senior year of high school, I would drive up to Royal Oak, and then I would take the comedy class in the club like that Saturday mornings. And then you put together your like 5 minute like graduation set.
Yeah.
And then that was like my third time on stage. I was 7
nice.
October 27th 2010 that would have been, and that was that's why that's in my mind is like the starting point, I guess. I took the class, helped though, that helped just understanding stuff
like
a little bit,
formatting
better.
And sort of timing and...
yeah just like it helped with like the growing pains of like take the mic out of the stand or leave it in, or like just how to exist at all, you know? So I left it in for like the first year.
Just didn't move it at all?
Yeah, I would just leave it in and talk, because like I would take it out and I'd be all like shaky with it. And then Bill would be like, just put it in the stand. And then I did, and then I left it in for like a year. And now I can't imagine like doing that.
Do you feel
that.
Like you would never have it just in the stand now, ever?
Yeah, that seemed really fun. Like when I did the Conan thing, mm-hmm. They're like, how do you want a lapel mic or a hand mic? I was like, can it be a mic in a stand and I take it out of the stand? 'Cause like, I'm like, that is
that's my
muscle
ritual.
Memory now. And then they got to a point where they're like, all right, you walk out, the mic's in the stand, and you take the mic out, and then you don't have to move it. Like, your mark is to the right of the stand. Yeah. And they're like, you're our guinea pig for this. And I was like, no, how has no one ever...
No one's ever requested stand before?
Yeah, done it. What I've seen people with stands on there, but it was just, like, kind of a weird thing where, like, I clearly didn't need it.
Yeah.
I just didn't want to walk out with the mic because it felt so weird to me.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I walk out and I take it out because that's what I'm used to, yeah.
I'm glad that you did that, though. I'm glad that they were accommodating to that, too.
Yeah, they were like, I don't, who cares? You want to stand, weirdo?
Like, sure.
Yeah,
the stage manager's like, this kid.
Yeah, they were all really nice.
Oh,
like,
that's
when we
so
did
great.
The, like, mic check kind of stuff, like, they all... It's super nice and really fun mood and stuff, and yeah, they're all, it's like a well-oiled machine there. Everybody's really cool. Yeah,
I can imagine at this point too, because I think a lot of the crew was maybe involved in the original show too, so I think they've all kind of worked together for a super long time, so.
Yeah, there were a lot of people there where, like, they'd mention, like, oh, he's so and so, he's been here like 20 years or whatever, you
that's
know
amazing.
Like, it's, yeah.
So what was it like meeting Carol Burnett?
I didn't get to meet her. I only got to be, like, in the vicinity of her. She was very... And she was a lovely woman, I'm sure.
Ruined my reputation only to meet her. I literally would have been like, oh, I'm on the show with you, too? I don't fucking care.
It was very, like the president or something. Like, it was very, like, she had
She's
her
like
people and she
comedy,
was kept...
the first lady of comedy, I get that.
In a special room, you know, like, it's just like, I
in
didn't,
the cryo
that's
chamber.
That was like the first thing my mom asked me. She was like, did you meet Carol Burnett? I was like, I didn't. I should have just told her, like, we high-fived or something, but no, she,
now your mom doesn't even care that you were on Conan.
yeah.
She's like, well, what
she
been a great
story. She was
super
pumped,
like,
when she saw that Carol Burnett on it. Like, it took her, took it to another level of excitement.
That was like a real celebrity for her.
Yeah,
she was like,
she
I don't
was...
know who Eric Andre is.
Yeah,
so.
yeah. He was really nice too.
That's awesome.
I did get to meet him.
I actually met him once at a festival. They had an Adult Swim booth up,
okay.
And he was doing like a live event of his show, the talk show that he
oh,
used
yeah,
to do.
Oh yeah.
He's a nice guy.
Yeah,
that's
he was
cool.
Extremely nice. Yeah.
I literally would have probably needed to be held back from, like, licking Carol Burnett's face. I just been like, you're so great.
Like, it was funny when we were in the, like, there's, like, a common area between, mm-hmm. like, the green rooms and stuff, and we were sitting out there, and the show's on all these different screens you can watch, and my girlfriend was with me, and she kept, like, she's getting mad at me because I would be talking to somebody or something, or just be, like, looking at something,
mm-hmm.
and, like, I guess, like, two times Conan had walked through the room, and I was completely unaware of it. Like, I didn't see him at all, and she was, like, tapping my leg. I was like, what? And she was like, Conan O'Brien just walked behind you, and you didn't even know he was there. I was like, oh, man, and then it worked out. I got to meet him eventually, but she's like, you keep missing him. How do
you
keep...
Like... I don't know. I'm distracted by all these TVs.
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah, I wasn't fully present.
Like, I feel like it probably must have been like a little bit of an out of body experience.
Yeah, that's what I would always hear people, especially talking about like the Tonight Show with Carson.
Yeah.
I always heard comics talk about it as like an out of body experience, and in my head, I always be like, that's a bit dramatic.
Yeah.
And then when I did it, I was on Conan. I was like, I totally understood what they meant then, because it's just a whirlwind. And it's a positive feeling, but then it's just, like, over, and you're like, whoa, that did not feel like reality. That just felt like this super fast, positive feeling. And, yeah, you're so focused, you know, like, it's, that's why I think, I was happy with how my set turned out, but when I was watching it, I was almost like, I feel like normally I'm a little bit slightly more animated or something, and I think I was very focused
on just like not throwing up or
anything. Just like, all right, let's do the jokes and time it well and stuff, and that, and I felt comfortable, but it was like watching it back, it was like, oh yeah, that's weird. It's weird to see yourself on there.
Oh, I can't even imagine. I like
it looks
hearing
like
myself as
green
enough.
Screen. Like, it looks like you don't belong.
Oh, like on the backdrop or something?
Yeah, like the... We went to the Comedy Store and watched it on the patio when it aired. And when I walked through the curtain, it just, like, looked like green screen. Like, I had been cropped in because I was like, that's... I do not belong in the context of that TV show I've seen a bunch of times. Like, it just doesn't look right to me.
Did you like black out at any point, or were you were like totally okay? You were good.
I was okay. It was funny because right before I walked through the curtain, they do he says your intro,
mm-hmm.
and he said that I would be headlining the Ann Arbor Comedy Showcase on these dates. But I'm there those days, but I'm not headlining. And it was funny because I know that's my
home. Nice of you to like bring it up on this to clear the air.
I'm not gonna lie to you people. Not like Conan lied. No, that was. I think as I thought they were just gonna say like appeared or something.
Right.
I don't know exactly what happened, but it was funny because that's like my home club, so I know the owner really well. He's like my friend Roger, and I was behind the curtain, and he said I was like, oh, that's not true, and I was like, I almost wanted to open my set by being like, listen, Roger, I'm sorry.
I just participated in
it. You guys don't know Roger, but I'm super not headlining his room in 2 weeks.
Do you think so, that would have... I feel like that...
Not at all. People would have been like, what the fuck are you doing? But I just emailed him after and was like, hey, good news, they plugged the club on the show.
Bad news.
I know I'm not headlining. He was like, I understand.
Maybe he'll switch you to headlining after hearing how well it went. He'll be like, give that kid a... So... You started doing comedy in high school, you go through, you do this class, you do your showcase, and then they start letting you perform, even though you're not 21?
Yeah, because it was cool, because the guy who suggested I take Bill's class was kind of right, because then he was like, basically, if you take the class and Bill knows you, then he can kind of take you under his wing or kind of, like, vouch for you.
Right.
Which was true, because then at all the clubs, then Bill could just be like, eh, just let him go on. And then the other thing was, I was like, I was 17, and he was like, yeah, just don't tell anyone you're 17, and no one will care. And he was right. No one ever asked or anything.
They never were like, let me see your ID or anything.
Yeah, that would happen occasionally before I was 21, and they would put, like, X's on my hands, and then I would have to go and wash them off, because I was like, I'm going to be on stage with these giant X's on my hand.
Those are, like, the cool kid exes that you would get. You'd be like, thanks for dropping me off, Mom.
Yeah. That's basically exactly. What it is. And so I was able to get in to the clubs and stuff and open mics and stuff, and then people just get to know you. And then I wasn't terrible, and so that helped, too, because then they were like, oh, he's pretty good at this, so we can, you know, let him hang around and stuff. And so
that's awesome.
Yeah, and I just kept, just kind of grew more and more over time, yeah.
And then look at you now, not meeting Carol Burnett on Conan. So you, I feel like the first thing that kind of put you on the map a little bit was the Funny or Die Oddball comedy tour, right?
Yeah, that was like a big break for me, because that was like how I got like representation.
Well, that's great.
Which was cool, because I still live in Michigan, so I really lucked out that my manager, Dave Rath, was one of the judges for this contest.
Oh, great.
So basically you just send in a clip of your stand-up, and then like the person who won the whole thing got like a spot on the second stage on the Oddball Tour.
Mm-hmm.
But I won like the Detroit round, and then they like had like one national winner. And then so Dave was one of the judges, so he saw my tape and then sent me an email. And I talked to him, and then I talked to him on the phone. I was in Indianapolis doing horrible shows at a place called Latitude something or other. That was like the fifth.
That sounds about right.
Like the
for
fifth
Indiana.
Place you would want to work. Like there's a in Indianapolis is great, and they have a bunch of great venues.
This
but
is
I
not
was like on the fifth tier down of places. And so I remember talking to him in my hotel room, and I was coming to L.A. like 2 days later just by coincidence. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, I can meet you in person. And then that worked out, and we met in person, and it went well. And then when I, that same trip, I had like my meeting with him set up, and like right when I got here, the Jeff Singer with Montreal called me, because
mm-hmm.
he had seen a tape. And then so I... then I had, like, I auditioned for that as well while it was out here. And so I had, like, this really, this was, like, a year and a half ago, like, a really, like, whirlwind, crazy week.
Yeah.
And then I ended up getting Montreal, and that was a really cool experience.
Yeah.
And then I just went back to Michigan for a while, and then I still had, was in touch with Dave, and then kept doing stuff.
Booking shows, and
yeah.
You've opened for, Brian Posehn,
yeah,
Patton
yeah.
Oswalt at
yep.
this point. Like, who else? I know I'm missing
people. I got to open for Pete Holmes.
So nice. He's,
yeah.
like, the nicest guy.
Yeah, he was very nice. Gerard Carmichael once.
Oh, cool.
Louis Anderson a couple times.
Oh,
he was really nice.
I'm so excited for his role in Baskets.
Dude. Yeah, I need to
oh
watch the
God.
Show. I haven't
seen
had a
it
chance
yet
to
either.
Watch it.
I followed their Facebook page, so now I just get these little photos that'll pop up. It's like, because he's playing Zach Galifianakis' mom.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm, oh, God.
He's a very nice dude. Very, like, I did shows with him in Minnesota, which is, like, where he's from.
Yeah.
So, it was, yeah, he's just very nice to everybody, and everybody's always very excited to see him and stuff. So he was, like, yeah, very, very nice dude.
Who's probably the favorite person that you've, like, opened for, or, like...
I would say Brian Posehn.
Yeah?
Because I've worked with him, I've been lucky enough to work with him a handful of times, and got to, like, travel with him a
mm-hmm.
little bit, so got to, like, kind of, get to know him as a person more than,
just
than like, if you were just doing the show.
Yeah.
And he's just a very kind, hilarious person.
That's
and he's
awesome.
Very fun to work with, and his shows have all been a blast. So he would, yeah, I would probably say he's been my favorite of all those kind of shows, just because, like, we got... Like, he had so many opportunities to be, like, annoyed with me. It wasn't, like, I got in a, my only fender bender to date was with him riding shotgun. And we did a show in Flint.
Yeah.
Which is in crisis right now, but this was before
pre-crisis.
We did a show in Flint, so I drove up to Flint, and he was there, and then there was, like, a hotel, and then I was driving us from Flint to Traverse City
yeah.
for a show the next day. And so that was my one job, was to do a show and then get us there.
Yeah.
And we're driving down the highway, and there was a herd of turkeys.
Sure.
That
sure.
came across the road, and an SUV in front of me stopped for the turkeys, and I stopped also. I had to hit my brakes, like, fairly hard, but I stopped with, like, a couple feet between me and the car in front of me. The guy behind me did not stop in time, so he rear-ended me, and then behind him, there were, like, 8 vintage Corvettes, and they all piled up into each other, so it was a huge mess. And then, and so, like, it all happens in a matter of seconds, and the turkeys they just wander into the woods, and the SUV in front of me did not get hit, they didn't hit anybody, they just take off.
Yeah.
So now I'm just at the front of this disaster, and like, so, like, it would have been totally valid for, like, Posehn to be, like, a little miffed.
Right.
Because, like, then it took, like, a couple hours to get, like, the cops come. And
did
they
you guys
get
make it on time
insurance.
To the show?
We
everything?
Did.
Oh,
we
okay,
we luckily had plenty of time, but it just, like, took a long time because
yeah.
there were, like, 8 cars involved. And he was so cool throughout that whole experience. And he had been in a fender bender in, like, L.A. like a week before.
So he was totally chill.
Yeah, he totally understood the feeling.
Did anybody recognize him while you guys were out there?
Yeah, like, the EMT showed up because, like, some lady was, old lady was,
yeah.
no one got hurt, but some
yeah.
old lady was like, my foot or whatever. And some EMT was like, oh, everybody craning their head to look at the celebrity, and we were like, this wasn't our fault. And but he was so nice through that whole, and then in just in general, but also, like, in moments like that where I'm like, if a person wanted to be a little annoyed, they could have been.
Totally
and,
they, have been.
And he wasn't. He's just a very chill, nice person. Yeah.
Do you think that EMT is the kind of person that heckles a show but thinks that he's, like, positively a part
I know
of
the kind of person
you know
you're describing.
About?
This was a lady, so she seemed more sweet than that. But yeah, it was.
That's
that was
a pretty bonding moment, though.
Yeah,
getting into a car accident.
Now every time I've worked with him since, he talks about it on stage.
That's so funny.
Because he says how I had to call my parents because I'm little, as he says, and then how my brother texted me, like, hours later and was just like, I heard you killed Brian Posehn, asshole, or something like that. and how that was, he thought that was like hilarious, but
That's
I'm
so
not doing
funny.
it justice to how he explains it, but yeah, he's it, he brings it up when
That's so funny. Do
yep.
you have any comics that you have like love to work with that you haven't worked with yet?
Yeah, I mean, it's yeah, like even like Stephen Wright is like a legend in my mind. I feel like he sort of invented the genre
Yeah.
of like the kind of silly one-liners. He was someone, even just to meet him would be cool. And then I've never met him or anything, but I really love John Mulaney. I really love Louis C.K. I got to follow him once
Oh, cool.
in New York, so that was very exciting. But I didn't really get to talk to him or anything, but I
How did
enjoy
you do?
his comedy a lot. It went fine. It
Okay, good.
was funny because it was like a really like it was this tiny show, and it was kind of a rough show for everybody. And like he dropped in and did like some new stuff, and I like a woman like heckled him, and he had to be like, why are you talking right now? Why are you? And it was just kind of a funny moment because I was like, he's the biggest comedian
In the
in the
world right now,
world,
and he's still getting
and
heckled.
this woman still is too drunk to pay him any sort of respect.
It was that
Like it
EMT.
never gets better. It just never.
Well, 'cause there's two types of people that heckle shows. The people that are doing it to be assholes and the people that don't know that they're
Who think it's
assholes.
okay.
Yeah, the people who
I'm
think it's
helping.
okay. It's not a conversation. It is a monologue. I am up here speaking. You are there to laugh.
I like to make a lot of times if it's very rare that you actually get a malicious heckle. But a lot of times the one that's that always like because I'm very petty, if someone makes a joke on your joke, I like to it's even funnier if their joke doesn't land. If it does land, then they kind of like you can acknowledge that was funny. But if they try to make a joke on your joke and it doesn't land, I like making a big deal out of it 'cause it's really funny to me. Or I did a show recently where someone made a really like adorable non-mean joke on one of my jokes, and I went after him as if he had said something horrible, but only with the level of niceness they had. So I just kept calling him a goober. I'd be like, "You goober, what are you doing?" And then I like just kept like pointing out what he had said. And then but I think it's fun to just meet whatever
Whatever energy,
interruption
yeah.
happens, just give that level back to whatever.
But I guess that's a good way to kind of roll into another question is, have you had a time that was like so fucking terrible that you were like, I'm never doing comedy again? Like, that woman was right, like, you know?
Never like I'm never doing comedy, but definitely moments of like, did I fuck up? Like, why? How am I in this situation? Kind of thing. But never, and just like I'm always, I've never, I don't know. Some people might grow out of this, but I'm always as good as my last set. So if it goes poorly, like. The worst part of a bad set is that I know I'm going to feel it for the next for the period of time till the
You do
next
another
set.
set.
So that's like you're like I've said to a I said I did a set like right before the 4th of July and it was going like okay, but the crowd was a little weird and I remember saying to them like you guys I really need this to go well so I can enjoy fireworks. 'Cause if this set is a good, I am not gonna enjoy this holiday weekend at all.
Did that get
And
a laugh?
so,
Oh, okay,
yeah.
good,
And then
good.
and they were a totally fine crowd, but like that's the it definitely yeah, it definitely does not feel good when it goes poorly or whatever. But I haven't had anything like that extreme where I was like I'm not doing it. I get more if it's really bad, it'll be more like I'm angry at the situation or something. Like I'll be like if it's that bad, I'll just be like these people are garbage. Like I'll just
These plebeians, yeah.
Or and that's what's nice about a lot of kind of rougher audiences. You can just say whatever you're thinking and they'll will laugh really hard. The kind of the worse the audience is sometimes, the more that is the case, which is good though because then you don't have to pretend like you like them. Like, as long as you're not, as long as you say it with a smile, you can kind of tell them exactly what you think of the situation.
Completely to fuck off. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And they'll laugh more at that than like whatever material wasn't working or whatever, you know. But
so what's next? You just did Riot Fest, right? That was yesterday, right?
Yeah,
yesterday.
That was really great. That set was good, so I feel good right now. Like,
you can enjoy fireworks. Yeah, yeah, good.
Yeah, I was on the Patton Oswalt show, so that's I got to host that show and do like 10 minutes, and it's like, normally hosting makes me nervous because I'm a capable host, but I'm not, I don't consider myself a strong host. Mm-hmm. And with his crowds, though, they don't need to be, like, warmed up. They're already excited. So it's really just going to do a really fun set in front of a really fun crowd.
That's so great.
And so, yeah, it was very fun. Oh, yeah.
That's awesome. Do you have anything coming up? Headlining Ann Arbor, right? No?
Featuring. It's a featuring feature weekend. I have some stuff. I was originally planning on moving sooner, and then it made, like, I talked it over while I was out here, and it made sense to wait a couple more months. So
save that money.
Yeah, yeah. So I have like some club stuff. I'm doing like a show in Kalamazoo. That'll be fun.
Dr. Grin's in Grand Rapids.
I'm gonna be at Dr. Grin's in Ann Arbor. And then I have just working on submitting for some more TV stuff, and so that's cool. And then I've actually gotten some like cool new offers for me, like,
cool.
In the recent days, just like I'm gonna headline a show in my hometown like in December.
That's cool.
So that'll be fun at like the little, like the community college theater or something. But that's just like a fun thing that I'm like, oh, I get to do that.
Dude, it's like the hometown stuff is kind of the best though.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's, you want that feeling of like, I did it to the point that like, this whole college arena is for me. This community college, that's a big deal. Like,
yeah,
that's cool.
It's crazy. So a couple things like that, but I have to book more stuff because I hadn't booked past February, thinking I'd be moving. So I have to get back on it and try to, which fortunately with the TV credit might help a little bit. So
yeah, totally.
Hopefully it kind of balances out, but yeah.
Well, if people would like to book you, how can they find you?
Oh, bradcomedy.com. And then, that has all my information on it. I'm on, they have my email on there and whatnot. And then, and then I have, I'm on Twitter and Instagram and all that jazz. So.
Excellent. Excellent. Like everybody. Have you tried Snapchat yet? This is the thing that everyone's telling me to
Snapchat
get.
Snapchat,
I haven't gotten it.
Is like, I had the same reaction I had to Reddit.
Okay.
Where like I pulled it up and it was like, this looks broken. And then I got intimidated and walked away.
Reddit's just a lot of people yelling at each other, so you're really not missing anything.
Secondhand Reddit is good. Like, someone will show me something amazing, I'll be like, that's really cool.
But you didn't have to
and
find
it. And they'll be like,
it
was on Reddit, and I'll be like, that's fantastic. But I'm not myself gonna figure it out.
That's fair.
And then Snapchat is the same. Like, I know lots of people I know love it, but I just have no...
I can't.
So many times I've heard someone say, oh, so-and-so won't stop sending me Snapchats. And I'm like, you don't have to, you can opt out of that. That's what was weird with, like, with being on Conan, is I had this level of, just from, mainly for people I know, but just, like, notifications on a level I had never experienced. And it was like, it's too much. Like, it's too, you always have that, like, it lights up your brain a little bit when you have a little notification, and to have that for like a couple days, just like
you
nonstop. As I'm doing it, I'm like, this can't be good. Like, this can't be healthy for.
As you're like replying to everyone, thanks so much.
Yeah, and then that's the human side of it, where it's like, I don't want to be inconsiderate or
have
people
think I
ignore.
I have to send them a thank you note. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was really trying to. I like really tried to get back to everybody just because I feel like guilty if I wasn't responding. I was just like, they're gonna think I'm a dick now.
They were so supportive.
So it's like I tried to get back to. I think I did. At a certain point, you can't even navigate Facebook because it's not designed in a way like Twitter.
It's not user friendly anymore.
Instagram, even if you get a lot of notifications, you can look at it in like 2 seconds.
Yeah.
And Facebook is. It's too many levels to it.
It's segmented all the notifications.
So-and-so liked the thing on a thing that you liked 2 years ago that he liked on a reply. Like, it's just like it was a lot, but it was cool. But I felt that as I was looking at my phone a lot. I was like, this is too much. I don't know how people live.
They
this
hire
life.
People to do it. That's why.
Oh, that must be.
That's
it.
Literally what it. I mean, I feel like some people probably manage it themselves, but God, after a while, because I think that that's when you have to switch into like performer mode. You don't necessarily want to be in like promotion mode. You want somebody else to like do that. You don't want to, because like I don't want to sound like a dick being like, hey everyone, come like listen to my podcast. I just want to like do my podcast. I don't want to have to like tell everybody how great it is. Like I just want you to like listen to it or don't, or like whatever, you know what I mean? Like ideally I want you to listen to it, but like I'm so shitty at that. Like that's, I realized that my Instagram is just like way too many pictures of like my cats. Which I feel like that's what it should be for, though. Like I don't want to use
like
it.
It's mostly cats overall.
Yeah, cats and like food. Dessert. Yeah. So bradcomedy.com got lots of shows coming up. People can book you. They can hire you. They can put you in their TV shows if they want.
Yeah,
right?
if you're open to whatever. I'll do that.
Excellent.
Yeah.
I'm open to all TV offers. dude, this was great. I'm so glad you got to like make time to come sit in this really just glamorous closet.
There's coats, there's padded walls. The padded walls kind of like you forget you're in a closet because it's soundproof. You're like, this is a studio with a closet theme.
That's exactly.